What is up, No Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spear here to talk about the CFP rankings. Now, first off, let's just say Florida State comes in at fourth. This is the first edition of these rankings. There's a lot left that can change. It's nice to be back in the conversation. I am just glad to be a part of the CFP ranking show. But Michael, I think they got a few things wrong, and that's what we're here to talk about. So while we're thankful that we got in, I have a little bit of a bone to pick with the committee here. So,
yes.
Michael, how are you? Thanks for joining me.
I'm good, man. I like you said, I'm excited that we're finally in the national conversation. We're ranked. We're in the college football playoff conversation. That's awesome. That's great. But we got a little things to just figure out here.
Right. And I think it is important to keep in mind before we jump into this that people have to realize, like we mentioned, this is the first edition of these rankings. There is a lot that can change. There's a lot of important football. That's the thing about November. This is it, man. This is the proof is in the pudding in November. There's a lot of people that can get in or out of the picture in a hurry in this month. So that's going to be something to watch. So we understand it's just preliminary. A lot of things can change. But looking at these rankings, let's first start by setting the stage here. So Ohio State comes in at number one. And then you have Georgia at two, Michigan at three, Florida State at four. Your first two out is Washington at five and Oregon at six. So the thing is, when we talk about these rankings, Michael, is we did a preview show here, and we both pretty much agreed that Ohio State was our consensus number one, as much as you don't feel like they are the best team in the country.
Right.
And I do find it funny that during the ranking show, Ohio State alum Kirk Herbstreit even said, no, I don't think they're the best team in the country.
Yeah.
But when you look at the body of work, which is what the committee made a big ploy to be the basis behind why they're number one, they deserve it. They have two wins, two of the biggest wins of the season against current. Now, this is the big thing. You got to talk current rankings.
Correct. That's right.
Like what Georgia did to Kentucky, that doesn't really matter anymore
because
Kentucky's not been that great since. So they have a win against current number 11 Penn State and current number 15 Notre Dame.
Yep.
So they haven't really been close in too many games. So they deserve to be number one.
Yeah.
But Michael, where I find issue with these rankings is, so if you set the bar as the body of work, to me, Florida State, who has the only other win against a current CFP-ranked team, LSU at number 14, dominating blowout win at a neutral site stadium, which we know it was mostly FSU, but still, it was not a true home game. They have the most Power 5 wins of any team in the top four, and yet they don't get put at number two. They get put all the way down at number four. So, man, tell me why I'm not wrong to be a little bit perturbed by that, because I think they just – they really contradicted themselves in this one. If you're going to do body of work, I think you obviously have, you know, OSU at one, FSU at two, probably Georgia at three, Michigan at four. If you go by the eye test, which they also bring up, you probably go Michigan at one, Ohio State maybe at two, Florida State at three, Georgia at four.
Correct. Well, yeah. So setting aside my 10 hat for a second about the biases that are out there, you're absolutely right. I think you have every right to be perturbed, to be upset. I'm upset. I'm happy we're in the conversation, but I'm upset because they basically contradicted themselves yesterday on that show. They started by saying that strength of schedule really mattered because that's why Ohio State was number one. Their win at Notre Dame that they barely won, but they won, right? And then their win against Penn State at home. That those were the best wins of the season. You and I agreed on our college football playoff show preview those are the two best wins. They should be number one, even though that their full body of work hasn't looked dominant. They have the two best wins of college football season. So
I will just mention one thing too. When you look at you bring up a good point too. When you do mention those ranked wins, they were both by the skin of their teeth.
Exactly.
Florida State's ranked win, they had the cheerleaders in the fourth quarter.
So, that's right. <anyway. laughs> That's right. No, you're absolutely right. Right. So, and so, yeah. So if that's the criteria you're going to start with, because that's what Bob Kerrigan, I think the NC State, he's an NC State athletic director.
I know. Boo Kerrigan.
Who cares? Boo Kerrigan. Okay.
Boo Kerrigan. So, that's who's in charge of everything.
Boo. A guy named Boo.
Boo freaking Kerrigan. Okay.
Okay. So if that's the criteria you're going to start with, then when you look at the next five teams, right? So Georgia, Florida State, Michigan, and Washington, okay? The next best win, according to the current rankings, is Washington. But they only have one, and that's against Oregon, and it was by the skin of their teeth because Dan Lanning made a terrible fourth down call. Basically, that's why they won the game, right? Then you go, okay, so you kind of have to put that to a side. Who has the next best win? Florida State with LSU, the number one offense in S&P Plus ranking, and it's not even close how awesome and dangerous that offense is. And Florida State shut that offense out for basically three quarters, if you want to be honest about it, right? I mean, like you said, they had the cheerleaders in. Then Florida State is the only team to go into Clemson who had a 61-2, I believe, home record, hadn't lost in like 3 or 4 years at home, and beat them. Now, yes, Clemson is not the Clemson of old this season, but that was an that record is crazy. No one walks into Clemson and beats them. They beat a ranked Duke, number 20 in the team, with Riley Leonard, so you can't punish them for that. And yes, they did go up to Boston College. They did struggle. But at one point in that game, let's remember, they had a 31-10 lead in that game going into the fourth quarter, okay? It wasn't like that game was close the whole way through, like Ohio State's win against Notre Dame or Ohio State's win against Penn State or Washington's win against Oregon or Georgia's win against South Carolina or Georgia's barely win against Auburn. Florida State actually dominated that game. And when we put the backups in, that's why it got all close again and all the different things that ended up happening. So you would have to, in my mind, say Florida State has the second best complete body of work on the season. Then you would go Georgia because Florida, their best wins is Florida. And who am I missing? Florida and Kentucky. And then Missouri beat Kentucky. Kentucky wasn't that good of a win.
Yeah, so they beat, I think, Eastern Kentucky by 11 points.
Correct.
And they were, I think they were ranked at the time.
Exactly. I think they were like a 20-point favorite, and they barely won that game by 11 points. And then you have to go with Washington because, yes, Washington has the quote-unquote second-best win of the season, but Washington has been suspect against Stanford, against Arizona State, and Arizona, barely pulling the – I mean, in the Arizona game, they did not score an offensive – or Arizona State, whichever one of those Arizonas, they did not score an offensive touchdown, period. And so, to me, if you're going to start with the body of work, the strength of schedule, Florida State is the clear – number two.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is this, I actually can rewind this all the way to the tweet that I had that we did a whole show on about how rankings and wins and losses would be treated differently depending on who they are.
Right.
Because when you watched old Boo come on last night,
old Boo,
and give his justification for these, what I found interesting about this was, so when he talked about Georgia, this is what I found interesting. So he said that Kentucky and Florida, they had dominant wins against those two teams. Both of those are 5-3 on the season. So, like you mentioned, you completely skip trailing by double digits to a 2-6 South Carolina and then winning by, I think, 10 points.
Correct.
You completely ignore the 27-20 struggle win that you almost lost against Auburn.
Correct.
But as soon as you turn the page to Florida State, you say, okay, they have a good win at the time, number 5 LSU. But they have that BC game. Now, he mentioned that it was a red bandana game. It was an emotional thing. Right. But again, this to me, this gets back to why, first off, I'll say that this is why you have a human committee and not a computer poll. Because like you mentioned, you can look at in that game, they had the flu issue going on. It was the red bandana game. They were up 31. They went on a 31-0 run at one point. So like that is when you look at the final score, that doesn't tell the whole story all the time. Now, the final score is what it is. But how is it that you mentioned two dominant wins for Georgia against Florida and Kentucky while overlooking their struggle wins, but you don't do the same for Florida State? And what's interesting to me is since that BC game, and I put this in an article that I wrote, Florida State has outscored their last five opponents who are all 500 or better by a score of 190-80. Yet we're still talking about a game that happened in early October.
Correct.
And I will also say that when you talk about the human factor of this versus not having computer rankings, he also said that the cheating with Michigan is that's an NCAA problem, not a CFP problem. Now, I will say this. I 50% understand that argument because sign stealing is not technically illegal.
Correct.
But this is why we have a human poll again, correct, not a computer poll, because you can look back at the history of their cheating and see that the one team that knew about the cheating and game plan for it was TCU, who was right, not as good a team as they were,
right,
and still went on to beat them. So it does play a big factor in this. And for them to completely ignore it, it's just crazy, man. Like, when you look at all this stuff, and the, again, I'm not a tinfoil hat anti-ESPN conspiracy theorist, but pardon my French, Michael, how the hell do you have a four-team playoff and then you put on the screen a graphic with three teams for a resume comparison? It correct, is just the most insane thing to me that they put up a and if you're not sure what I'm talking about, during the rankings reveal show, ESPN put up a graphic with Ohio State, Georgia, and Michigan comparing their resume. And Florida State was not even on the graphic.
Not even talked about.
Right. In a four-team playoff, you compare three resumes. Make it make sense, because I don't get it. And maybe it was because they wanted to hide some things. So yep, here's what was...
What are they hiding, Jesse? Tell us.
So here's what a lot of what was on that graphic. So they wanted to talk about the strength of schedule ranking. So Ohio State comes in at 15th. Georgia comes in at 100th. Michigan comes in at 112th. Florida State comes in at 49th. And Washington, because they're the last unbeaten, we'll bring them in at two, at 75th. So Florida State, again, number two there. Strength of record ranking, Ohio State is at first. Florida State is at second. Washington is at third. Georgia's at seventh. And Michigan is at ninth. So their second metric, Florida State goes to number two.
Correct.
They also had on there your best wins. Florida State has the only other win besides Washington, but I'm talking about of the top four.
Correct.
Of the top four, they have the only other ranked win versus a current CFP-ranked team, and yet they're not even on the graphic because, well, by hearing everything I just said, you're probably thinking, oh, yeah, Florida State sounds like they should be number two, but they're not.
But they're not. Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I want to go back to that Michigan thing real quick, because there's a misnomer that I think has been permeating in the national conversation around this. Sign stealing is not illegal. Correct. That is the absolute correct. What is illegal, according to the rule book, is sending a scout, a paid scout, to go to an opponent's stadium and scout the team in that stadium during the game. That's what Michigan was doing. That is illegal. And when Boo Cherigan, good old Boo, was asked about this and the conversation off the television, he basically said, again, he repeated what he said on TV, that this is an NCAA thing. We're just supposed to judge what's on the field. And then the reporter wisely followed up and said, okay, if that's true, then shouldn't it matter to the committee that the games in which you are awarding Michigan for being very dominant probably meant that they had went and scouted those opponents at their location to get their signs in order to steal. It affected how they were able to be dominant. And of course, he skirted around the answer. And so that's a problem. That's an issue. Yep. We have to address that. That's why we went to the human committee instead of a formula that can take an account to all those different things. And then to sit there and have the audacity to then say, okay, yes, this is the other thing that really made me mad that old Boo said, is when he was asked about how Florida State having basically the second best strength of schedule, how could they be number four? He goes, yeah, Florida State was great. I mean, they had a great win against LSU and everything. Their schedule is kind of front loaded. And then he moved on. Like, wait, hold on a second. So you're punishing Florida State for scheduling the toughest teams at the top of the season, when most teams try to make sure that's backloaded so they look good in the eyes of the committee? Are you kidding me?
Right. And then on top of that, like, everybody pretty much understands that it's better. It has shown in the past to be better to lose early in the season than late in the season, especially when you talk about a team like Ohio State in the past that lost to Virginia Tech, a not very good Virginia Tech team that year, but went on to make the playoffs and I believe win the national championship with their third string quarterback. So,
right.
If you had to ask anybody before the season, if you were ranking teams, what is probably a safer bet, to lose to LSU game one or to lose to, say, hypothetically, lose to LSU in week 12? You would probably think it'd be safer to lose in week one. So you front load your schedule and then you get punished for that. And to me, it almost looks like this sends a message that Florida State should find a way to get out of that Alabama and Georgia series coming up, because you would be better off beating Rutgers, you get more credit for beating Rutgers, apparently, than you do LSU. And absolutely. You know, the thing is here, like, before it sounds like we're just here to complain about the whole thing. It's not necessarily that. Because, like, we're happy. We're grateful to be in it. You feel good about where Florida State is. Because when you talk about who's left, when you talk about the dust settling, you would have to imagine with five unbeaten teams, two of which have to play. So one of those is going to end up as a one-loss team. Florida State is probably at some point, unless Washington, you know, just turns something on and makes a case to jump Florida State at some point or another, or say Michigan beats Ohio State by like 1 point and Ohio State just barely falls. You feel good about Florida State. Long as they win out, they get in. So it's not that we're complaining, because Florida State still they better control their own destiny.
Right.
Or we're going to break out the pitchforks and go to wherever this committee is located. But, you know, that's what you would hope. So, but it's just, man, it's just like, again, it's like I said, it feels great to be back in the playoff picture. It also feels great to, you know, be back to being disrespected by the committee when they introduced game control in 2014. It's just like good old times, you know, game control made it back before Miami did.
Well, let me, I love it. I love that dig. That's a good one. Oh, that's a good, epic one. That's an epic one.
But you know,
that's so true.
It is, man. And like, when you think about it, when you talk about this, the other thing that drives me crazy that he said with Ohio State, okay, they have they have playmakers. And then he said Marvin Harrison Jr., because, you know, that's pretty much about their guy. And then you talked about how they had a top five defense. Well, when you look at Florida State, I mean, have you ever heard of Keon Coleman? Have you ever heard of Johnny Wilson? Right. Maybe the guy who's a Heisman contender throwing them the ball. Oh, and by the way, this is also the only defense to hold the number one offense in the country to 17 non-garbage time points, and they put up 34 in every other game. Right. So, like, man, I just, you know, when you look at the body of work argument, and we'll get ready to kind of package things up here, but when you look at the body of work argument, Ohio State has – so we'll start with Ohio State at number one. They are in advanced metrics. This is just kind of another thing to put in your cap here. So they're 4-0 versus top 30 teams as far as advanced metrics go. So, you know, okay, that's pretty decent there. Now, Florida State in these rankings, they are also 3-0 against top 30 teams. So they have beat some good competition. Right. When you look at Georgia, has not played a top 30 team. When you look at Michigan, has not played a top 30 team. Breach. So again, like, there's, I don't know how many more signs you need that Florida State should not have been number four.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, like I said, when you talk about the body of work, Florida State should be two. When you talk about the eye test, I think they should be at three. Georgia, I mean, if we're being honest, they probably shouldn't even be in the top four when you talk about body of work, but they do get that little bit of credit for being back-to-back national championships, and that's fine.
That's
fine if you want to put them in there, but judge it fair. It's just when you put Ohio State at one because of what they did, but then you don't follow it with the same mentality, it doesn't make sense to me.
Well, and like here, so let me say this again. You guys watching, listening out there, we are grateful. This is not an ungrateful show, ungrateful podcast of us not like being grateful to be in the conversation. We are. But you have to call it out when there's contradictions, right? And so, Jesse, you the great line about game control being back from Miami is still in my mind. But honestly, if you think about it, it feels a little bit like everybody else was judged on the strength of schedule, and they just whipped out the old game control for Florida State. Well, yeah, they won, but, you know, they didn't really, like, they struggled to get that win. But no one else had that same criteria, which is just asinine. But here's the thing. If you look at this, like, if you just play it out logically, let's say Florida State hopefully wins out, right? Well, now – And Washington wins out, because that's a likely scenario. Now, Washington's schedule is backloaded. I think they got USC this weekend. Then they're going to play.
I think they got Utah as well.
Yeah.
And they got some tough ones. And that's the thing we talked about on the other show. Florida State, because you front loaded your schedule, which we didn't think would be a problem. I mean, you made the strongest resume case before we got into this.
Right.
You now have the easiest path to the playoffs, but you also have the smallest room for error.
For error, yes. And so like, you know, if they went out, here's the thing that I think will help us is Michigan and Ohio State will have to play for at the end of the season, right? The big game, whatever they call it. They will have to play. It's at Michigan this year. Whoever loses that game is on the outside looking in, because the committee has proven the last 2 years that finally, conference championships matter. Last year, Ohio State lost to Michigan, and they were bumped down to number four. But because they were one of the two best one-loss teams, so with TCU, they were able to get in because there were no other one-loss teams that were better than them. There were no other one-loss teams.
Right.
2 years ago, before that, Ohio State lost to Michigan, and Cincinnati, undefeated Cincinnati, got into the game because they were conference championship. They were ranked right behind Ohio State, and the committee punished Ohio State for not being in the conference championship. So I would imagine that whoever loses this game between Michigan and Ohio State, if Florida State wins out, if Washington wins out, Florida State will get into the game, and we should be fine. The goal is to win out, control what you can control. If for some reason Florida State wins out and is not in the college football playoff, there should be a massive revolt on this whole thing.
Right. And I totally agree with that because, you know, let's talk about now that we've kind of gotten off our chest, ripping on old Boo and the boys. Old Boo and the boys. So let's boil this down, Michael. What does this all mean? So I think here's the thing. Here's the big takeaway. We talked about this in the preview show. You needed to be in the rankings. It doesn't necessarily matter where you're at in the rankings. Correct. And a lot of that has to do with when you look at Washington.
Yep.
So they have a win against number six, Oregon.
Yep.
That's really good. I mean, they are third in your strength of record. They're third in the strength of schedule per the metrics that they use.
Yep.
So they've also, in advanced rankings, they've got two wins over top 40 teams. So they're looking as good as anybody else here. But that's who you didn't want to be. You didn't want to be Washington. You didn't want to be number five trying to make a case to get in. And the reason that's more important for Florida State than it was for anybody else is your remaining schedule.
Yep.
Because Pitt obviously is garbage. They're not going to be ranked.
Right.
Miami, you know, if Miami wins this weekend, I believe they'll be 7-2. So that would be a good win, a rivalry win. North Alabama doesn't count for anything. Florida in the swamp, depending on where they're at the next few games, that could be a decent win. But you don't really have a strong case like we talked about in the previous show. Georgia has multiple ranked games left. So does basically every team except for Ohio State, and they play number three. So they still have that strong case. So I think it's important that you got in because it's only the first rankings. These are going to change. Of course, Georgia doesn't have Brock Bowers. They could still lose. One of the Michigan Ohio States could lose. Obviously, Washington, they might have to play Oregon again in the Pac-12 championship. They could lose. So as long as Florida State keeps winning and nothing insane happens, you know, you never know. But as long as nothing crazy happens, Florida State should control their own destiny. Now, I think what you want to happen as a Florida State fan, and this is not off of gut emotions, this is purely off of using our brain and not our heart here, I guess. I think that this is a big Saturday for Florida State as far as their resume and things like that go. Yep. As far as the rest of the season, this is a huge Saturday. Now, they're all going to be important, but we were talking about this pre-show. You have the opportunity this weekend. So if Clemson were to beat Notre Dame, and I know that sounds far-fetched, but Florida State is still the only team to beat Clemson in Death Valley.
Correct.
Notre Dame is one of the biggest wins for Ohio State this season. So now if Clemson upsets Notre Dame, that strengthens your record.
Yep.
LSU goes into Alabama, and when they asked the committee, or not the committee, but the guys on the ESPN show who had the biggest win of the season, they said it was Texas over Alabama, even though I'd argue it's over LSU just because you blew the doors off of them. Texas was only a 10-point game, but I digress. Either way, if LSU beats Alabama this weekend, well, now your record looks even that much better.
Correct.
Another one to keep an eye on is that Louisville-Virginia Tech game, because I think at this point, I still agree that Florida State should make it in if they win out, but I think you want a Louisville team now to win out and make it to the ACC championship, because I believe they came in at 15th or 13th, maybe 13th.
13th. Yep.
Right. And so you figure with some shakeup going on ahead of them, if they win out and make it into the ACC championship, they could be pushing top 10. So that could be like that one, like you mentioned with the conference championship games being of that importance. That could be the one thing to really put that feather in your cap on your resume to push you over the edge to make sure you don't get lapped. Because I think your biggest concern is with Washington having that really heavily backloaded schedule.
Yeah.
And if, say, Michigan beats Ohio State, how far, say it's a 1-point game in overtime or something, how far do they fall?
Right.
So, you know, I don't see them putting a one loss team over four undefeateds, assuming we have four undefeated out of the five that way. Right. But man, I just don't like leaving it to a committee that's already shown they're a little bit inconsistent.
Well, absolutely. And yeah, because I mean the 5 billion scenarios that could take place. I mean, you know, because man, at the end of the year, right? Like you'd love Louisville to be ranked close to the top 10 or in the top 10, because that game, that championship game and the ranking is going to be pit up against likely Washington and Oregon playing in the Pac-12 yep. championship again, right? Likely. And then the Georgia SEC championship game, that's going to be put up. And then, of course, what's going to be – this is the best part about this Michigan-Ohio State game, because they are, whoever wins that game is very likely to face a terrible team. In the that's what it's been right. every year for the last, like, 5 or 6 years. They're going to face
Iowa
a terrible –
or somebody.
Yeah, Iowa or somebody like that, right? So you know, okay, we need to have a ranked game in yeah. our championship game. Right. Because that's going to look better in the eyes of the committee, who's already proven they're looking for any and every reason to discount you, to discredit you.
Yep.
And ESPN's going to try as hard as they can to make sure. I'm just putting it out there. So you want to make sure you can't make sure, but you hope that Louisville is that ranked team that you end up playing in the ACC championship game.
Right, because I mean, you could have a really crazy scenario where LSU, say, if they were to somehow make the SEC championship game and upset Georgia in there. Now, say they don't make the playoffs, but I mean, your resume looks pretty daggone good then.
Yes,
so you're fine there. But like you said, I just don't see them getting jumped. But I also, you know, when you see them say the things that they said and then still put Florida State at fourth, you know, anything is kind of possible. And
well, they're giving you breadcrumbs right. to say, okay, logically in your head, you don't think they could be jumped, but man, these little breadcrumbs that they've right. been dropping makes you wonder that either Florida State, I mean, let's just be real. Florida State loses a game, they're done.
They're done.
The,
yep.
The college football playoffs is going to dismiss them. Like,
you have
like
to win out at this point. No questions asked.
Correct. But if they win out, you see these little threads, these little breadcrumbs, you're like, okay.
You see where they're setting you up for it.
Right.
You know, they're pulling, right. you know, the old bait and switch or something like that. And really, I do think it comes down to, like, you probably want Ohio State to beat Michigan because they're farther down. They don't have that strong record. Whereas now you're talking about Ohio State would have three top 25 wins, three top 15 wins or whatever. You feel they're probably not going to budge, but that would be Michigan's only ranked win of the, well, they have to play Penn State. So I just feel like they're a little bit lower down the rung, so they could fall as well. And then, like we said, anybody could lose on any given Saturday. And that's why really Florida State just has to make sure they take care of their business. And I will say, When you bring up the Boston College game, and I do think it's funny that they bring up a 31-29 game, but then you completely ignore a blowout over Virginia Tech, a blowout over Syracuse, a blowout over Wake Forest, who is all as good or better than Boston College. And by the way, Boston College is 5-3. They done messed around and got a winning record, which is as good as Kentucky, which is as good as Florida, which is as good as just about anybody Michigan has beat, except for Rutgers, who is 6-2. But
I mean, how about the blowout of Duke?
Right, and a blowout, a ranked Duke, which they're not ranked anymore. But, you know, again, another blowout over a ranked team. So, to me, I think that you have what we feel is the best, kind of the second best resume in the country. But I will say, looking at the rest of the road, I think that you have to win all your games. That's clear and obvious. We know that. I don't think it's going to hurt to put some style points on some things. I think now that they have set the stage, not only with you, but with Washington, because, you know, they brought up those struggle games against Washington, which, again, man, why is the SEC, like, do we just have, like, these glasses where, like, we put them on, like, the middle of our eyes and the bad games just get overlooked and whatnot? Because, I mean, none of those games got brought up. 15-7 against
conference.
Arizona State is not any worse than what Georgia did against South Carolina, who's 2-6. But I do think that's my point is I think you want to beat Pitt by this Saturday by 40 points. You would like to beat Florida and Miami by as much as you can. No, North Alabama, you're going to beat them by 100 anyway.
Right.
So I think you need some style points. I think it wouldn't help. And I think, you know, as much as this team and the staff talks about how they don't pay attention to the rankings and whatnot, Mike's a smart dude. He knows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe Mike gonna, he may not like make this a big deal because that would be unwise, but he gonna leverage this for a little bit. He gonna remind his players that they still don't think Florida State's back. Let's go out there and show them Florida State is back.
Yeah, I saw some Georgia fans talking about this is be bulletin board material for Kirby, and it rightfully,
will be.
I don't think they should even be number two, but for Kirby's standpoint, it will be, and I think it's going to be the same for Florida State. I think, I definitely think that's going to be the case. So, yeah, man, at the end of the day, like we said, we're just grateful to be back in the picture. We're grateful to even be on here venting about being number four, which sounds like a strange place to be when we were like a four-win team a few years ago.
That's right.
But, you know, it is the case, man. It is. And like we talked about, when you get to that level of success, you talk about different things, and it's not all complaining. It's just the fact that we both don't agree with how they seeded this thing. But at the end of the day, it's still early. It is
the first one.
There's still a lot of football left to play. And you know, looking ahead a little bit, if nothing changes, but say you just drop Michigan out. So this is a hypothetical. They drop Michigan out because Ohio State wins because, they, you know, Michigan couldn't cheat and they couldn't beat a good team. And then you sneak Washington in there or whatever. Like, now you're looking at playing Georgia in the first round. And you know, I don't know that I want to say I'd rather play them than Ohio State, maybe, because they probably have Brock Bowers back by then. Of course, you'd have Daryl Jackson, but you know, that would be a fun matchup in round one.
I think the biggest thing for, like, okay, if we can dream a little bit, and you know me, Jesse, I don't like.
I know. We're just having a little fun with it.
Have a little fun, yeah. But if we can dream a little bit, I think the biggest thing that you'd want, as far as matchups matter, obviously matchups matter. There's not a team in the top four right now that I would be like, I don't think Florida State could match up with. I'm not saying that I would necessarily pick us to win over every single one of those top fours. But what I would say is that it would be a heck of a game, and Florida State matches up well with a lot of them. Yep. The biggest thing, however, though, is location. Because the thing is, you want to be in that number one or two spot because you want them, you want to play in, and I think the Sugar Bowl. Yeah. So you want to play in New Orleans because that's where your most fan base comes to. If you're in that four spot, you're likely being shipped out. Let's say it's Ohio State or Michigan. You're going to be shipped out to Pasadena. And so, and I mean, obviously we've won there. It'd be nice to go back and avenge that loss there in the Rose Bowl against Oregon, like to just play in the Rose Bowl again and win it there. But you want it to be close enough to where your fan base can travel. That's going to be New Orleans, and to play Georgia, man, it'd be nice to play Georgia and then potentially beat them. And now you have a feather in your cap that you've beaten the most dominant team in the last couple years in the playoff game. So that's really the biggest thing. There's not a team on here that I would say Florida State doesn't match up well with. Not saying that I would pick Florida State to beat each and every one of these teams. I'm just saying that there's no team that Florida State doesn't match up well with. I think it would be a game if they face any of those three teams in the top four.
I definitely agree with that. I think Florida State can go into any game, stand toe-to-toe with anybody, and feel like you have at least 50-50 shot to win. I only bring up Georgia because, you know, most of the listeners know I'm related to Georgia fans. I'm married to a Georgia fan. So, like, that game, that's a game we've been waiting to happen. It's been amazing. We've missed each other so many times. That's one I've been waiting to happen forever. But, yeah, man, and I will say the last thing before we get out of here is Florida State does have – of course, you got two rival games, which aren't going to be easy. But you got Pitt and North Alabama. So, where most of these teams kind of played around with things and learned things early in their backloaded schedule, Florida State passed their front-loaded schedule test, and now they have the opportunity, you know, against North Alabama, against Pitt, you might have a chance to kind of sort some things out to get some guys healthy and things like that. So, you know, Florida State still has time to get momentum going into the playoffs, and so it's only week one, and like they said, they start with a blank sheet of paper every single week, so we'll see how things go forward, but it all starts with Saturday as they get ready to face Pitt on the road at 3:30. And, you know, if you get past this one, there's two big things here. Of course, you got to go to the Swamp at the end of the year, but your next two games are at home.
Yep.
One of them is you have a 99.9% chance of winning, probably 120.9% chance of winning. You know, so you kind of pass that really long road test. At least Florida's just right down the road. And then also locked into the ACC championship. So this is a big Saturday. Big Saturday, man. It's a really big Saturday. Every Saturday is big at this point, but this is a big one for your resume and for what you can do, locking yourself into the conference championship, which is ever so important. But
the first goal.
The first goal, definitely the first goal. Like, even if they win the ACC championship and say drop the playoff game or something like that, I still think it was a successful season. You really can't argue with that. But we're back in the conversation, and that is the fun part. And like I said before, it sounds like we complained too much on here. You know, we just had a little bit of a bone to pick with old Boo there.
Boo Kerrigan.
So yeah, guys, but we'll be back with a Pitt preview for this Saturday's game. And then of course the next rankings, we'll see how those go as well. But that's going to be it for this show, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And as always, go Noles.